I want to say thanks to the St. Paul sisters, assuring us that we are not alone. I just want to appeal to all of us here today that as of tomorrow, going on to the end, except on Thursday night, it will be good to see the church looking like this throughout the week. What do you say, church? Yeah. Amen. And much more. There's something about mental health. It's not that you have a diagnosis. But it's more than how to manage how you think. And not allowing your thinking to manage you. Mental health is not about you are losing your mental stabilities. Mental health is about having a connection with God. And if you have... We are coming to understand day by day that mental health is a spiritual issue. Mental health is a spiritual issue. Pastor, why do you say that? I said it because we are made up of four dimensions. The mental, the spiritual, the physical, and the social. And if there is a disconnection between the spiritual, you're going to have a problem with your neighbor. If there's a disconnection with your spiritual, you're going to have social, you are going to have problems with yourself. Your mental equilibrium is going to be thrown off. And many a times when I'm dealing with my clients as a psychotherapist, I realize that they yearn to be connected back with God. But because they have drifted so far away, it becomes a hard deal for them. And so they turn to all kinds of things for satisfaction, which does not satisfy. But the adversary, on the other hand, is playing great havoc. And the way we think and the things that we are exposed to in this present world. And I'm really concerned for the youth, the younger youth, because the electronic exposure is going to cause them much more desire for satisfaction that cannot be had nor satisfying except you have that spiritual connection, because we are made of God and we are made to praise God, and it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. So that is why this week we are focusing on we are focusing on the theme, healthy thoughts, renewed mind. What did I say? Healthy thoughts, renewed minds. As I navigate my way through the different research and practice of mental health, I come to one conclusion that Our thoughts are distorted. And our thoughts are mixed up. Last week, we looked at the things that I want to do. I find myself doing the opposite. And the things I'm not supposed to be doing are the things I find myself doing. That's what Paul says. And that's human nature. So where do we go from? Where do we start? Let this mind be in you as that is in Christ Jesus. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. The thoughts I think of you, God said to Israel, are thoughts to prosper you and to give you a sound mind and a prosperous way. But it has to start with our thinking. Our thinking is the bedrock of our decision making. End up being our destiny. So we are here this week to examine our thoughts. And as we examine our thoughts, we seek to reconstruct them. So this week we are going to reconstruct our thinking and bring it up into the standard of the Word of God, because many of us have distorted thoughts and thinking. And when we have distorted thoughts and thinking, it lets our whole life become distorted, because it begins with our minds. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we are about, Lord, to examine your words and how we ought to think, we ask your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. And give us, Lord, the intentionality, the desire to think about how we are thinking and to act right. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want Pastor to recognize all the visiting friends here with us in our congregation. And I just want to, there is a winsome lady here. And I want to recognize her. She's the only winsome lady in the congregation. Not that you are not special ladies, but she's the only winsome one here. And I want to say, I'm happy to see you, Sister Butner. We missed your presence from the whole pack of fellowship. We want you to be here. And there are visitors who are here today who we want to really help you to acknowledge yourselves. This is called the Pastor's Helper's Card. There's one supposed to be in front of you there. If you're a visitor and you want the pastor to call you, to be in touch with you, and even if you want to get baptized, if you want to be accepted by a profession of faith, just fill out this card. Give it to me at the end of the service, or one of the elders, one of the ushers, and they'll get it to me, and I'll reach out to you, and so we can start making your connection with the church, with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here again, and I just want to acknowledge and recognize my mother-in-law. If you have a mother-in-law like mine, you want to have a good mother-in-law. So Mother Hen, that's what I call her. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right. Okay. And of course, I want to reach out to those brethren over there in North Stanford. I hope you are connected, and I hope you're hearing me over there in North Stanford. Brother Chum, are we connected? Just respond to the text. That okay, thank you very much. Great. And so I want to reach out to all our visiting friends over there in North Stanford. I'm going to ask the elders there to display that helper's card as well for all our visiting friends in the congregation, that they too will have an opportunity to have a call from the pastor and possibly a visit. And we want you to be connected spiritually, church, and have an understanding of what your mind is. I'm going to take you on a short trip according to the scripture. This message is intended to remind its hearers that their thoughts do affect their emotions. So we're going to talk about your thoughts and your mental health. Your thoughts and your mental health. Okay? It's a lot about thinking this week. It's a lot about thinking. And we want you to be really intentional about your thinking. Get your thinking under subjection. Am I right? And when you get your thinking under subjection, you'll get your life under subjection. Your thoughts sometimes run wild. Am I right? Am I right, brethren? And if you don't get those thoughts together, you'll run with them. And if you run with them, you are going to be in serious trouble. It will run you to wreck. So I'm going to ask you, take your papers and your pencils out or your pen out and get some notes how you can reconstruct your thoughts process. And at the end of the week, we're going to do a survey. At the end of the week, we're going to do a survey, and we want to see the people who have really learned and have control of their thoughts at the end of the week. So please, track your thinking. What are you thinking now? Think about it. What are you thinking now? Be intentional about your thinking. What are you thinking now? Okay, so put that aside. What is so pressing on your thoughts right now? Put that in another column. And the other question is, how is your thoughts affecting your behavior? At the end of the week, see how you navigate your way through this. And we get to the end of the week, we'll see how you are able to control the way you think. You have better results of your behavior, better result of how you perceive other people, better result of how you see yourselves, better result of how you see the church, and how you who God is to you in your thinking. Thoughts need to be intentional, controlled, and positive in order for positive emotion to be evoked. Thoughts need to be intentional, controlled, and be positive in order for positive emotions to be evoked. Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy gives some admonition as to how we should cultivate positive thinkings or positive thoughts, as they will determine our destiny and foster better relationships. Our thoughts demonstrate our demonstrations of negative emotions if we have negative thoughts. Therefore, skills will be demonstrated to help us to cultivate positive thoughts and emotions. Look for some of these skills as we go through the week. Everyone's destiny begins in their thoughts. True or false? Everyone's destiny begins in their thoughts. Based on how you think, it will help you to influence the course of your life. If you think negatively, our entire life will go through a riddle of negativities. Some people are trapped in negative thinking. Some inherit it. Some adopted it from their environment. Others just love to practice it. Some inherit negative thoughts. Some adopted it from their environment. Others just love to practice it. Negative thoughts, what is it? We have in the mental health profession called negative thinking or negative automatic thoughts. Negative automatic thoughts. So if you're living a negative environment and people keep pushing negative things at you, it sets in your minds and all you're thinking is just that. And that helps you determine where you go, how you think, what you do, who you sit with, and all the 9 yards of your life. Negative thinking. What are your thoughts? Your thoughts are collections of ideas and words that are manifested in your behavior. I like to go to the airport and I like to sit down and just watch people move about. And from their behavior, I can tell a lot of things. Because your behavior, brethren, is the end result of how you're thinking. Did you know that? So as a behaviorist, if somebody comes to me with a behavior that is distorted, I have to get into their thinking first before that behavior can be changed. And so I use what is called cognitive behavior therapy to really reconstruct their thinking. Because if the thinking is distorted, the behavior is going to be distorted. So I have to start with the building block of the thoughts. And that is why we start. That's where the beginning is. What idea do you have about yourselves? Is it negative thoughts? Proverbs 23 and verse 7 counsels us to be mindful of the thoughts we harbor. Note the word harbor. Proverbs 3:23, for as he thinketh in his heart, So is he or she. Can't win. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Our thoughts of self will influence how we think of others, how we think of ourselves. We think that everybody's like us, and everybody should be like us, and if everybody's like us, the world come to an end. No two people are alike, not even if you're twins. Sometimes negative thoughts are formed in our minds from significant people such as our parents, teachers, husbands, wives, a big brother, a big sister, or older cousin. These thoughts are sometimes projected on other people. The Bible describes some of the negative thoughts that comes out of us as found in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, the heart is, fine with me, come with me now. Come with me now, come with me now, wake up now, follow me in your scriptures. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. And is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Mark chapter 7 in verse 21 to 23 says, for within, follow me now, come with me now to Mark chapter 21, Mark chapter 7. And verse 21 to 23, come with me now. For from within out of the heart of men, what? Proceed what kind of thoughts? Evil thoughts. And what are these evil thoughts? Adulteries, fornications, murderers, thief, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eyes, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. That's why the Bible says in another section, foolishness abounds in the heart of a child. Pastor Amor, Pastor Cooper. Foolishness abounds in the heart of the child. But what can drive it out? The rod of correction. I'm not advocating abuse. I'm not advocating abuse. I'm advocating correcting the child. Correcting the child. And if you correct the child will know from their thinking that this is wrong. That is why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should grow, that when he gets old, he will not what? Depart. No matter where they go. That's what it's going to be. All these evil thoughts come from within and defile the man. All these evil thoughts are within us, in our minds, in our cognition, in our cranium. If you don't think it, you can't act it. And this is one of those automatic thoughts that comes automatically. And I'll tell you how to deal with that. But once you think it, it's going to come out. Don't think it, friends. Don't entertain those thoughts. It is by entertaining those thoughts becomes your behavior. Lord, have mercy. So what are the results of negative thinking? One, guilt. Two, envy. Three, pride. Certain kind of illnesses. Stress. Discontentment. Paul said that we should put away the old man with his deeds, such as is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 9. Put away the old man with his deeds, anger, covetousness, backbiting, gossiping. Put away the old man. And that is why we come to church. And that is why I encourage brethren and friends not to stay away from church, because church is that where you learn these things and you go through the rigors of things and you learn to forget them, because the bank not going to tell you these things. Schools will tell you, but school is focusing on education. And sometimes when you go to school, the behavior is being manifested and poor teachers have to be wondering why this child is behaving this way. Watch your thoughts. Be intentional about them. Don't let them just come upon you and rule you. Your thoughts don't rule you. You rule your thoughts. That's how we were made. We were made intelligent beings, brethren. We don't operate on instinct. We operate by reasoning, logics. So if the thing gonna go bad way, don't choose to go the bad way. Use the word of the Lord to guide your decision. Whatever decision you're gonna make in life, let the word of God influence you to make those decisions. That takes me into positive thinking. So I hear a question coming up. So, Pastor, how do I get rid of my negative thinking? Before you move on to positive, how do I get rid of my... Every day I'm thinking negatively. Every day I'm thinking... The best way to get rid of your negative thinking is to put it on paper. Write all your negative thoughts. Write them out. Write them out. And look at them. And the other side of it, you put the positive thinking, because to every negative, there's positive. Or to every positive, there's negative. Go on the other side and said, if I am hating, there is love. Give me loving thoughts and pray about it. Give me loving thoughts, dear Lord, and pray about it. Make a list of all the positive things and do them. Be intentional about them. Satan, I'm going to fight you. Satan, I'm going to give you a fight, you know, brethren. Because you're thinking your way out of his camp. You're thinking, you're putting up strategies how to get out of his camp. And he's going to give you a fight. He's going to remind you of you remember. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so he's going to put what is calling you guilt. And he's going to put in your, and guilt, there's come other diagnosis or symptoms that my dear wife will talk about tomorrow night. I'm going to take the sail of her out of her, the wind out of her sail. But if you get to clear up those negative thoughts by writing them out and put the positive one and find some scriptures to help you to authenticate your positive thinking, you are well on your way, because the Holy Spirit is going to give you that breakthrough. Let's move on to positive thinking. Are you thinking positive thoughts about others, about yourself and others? Think positive about yourself first. If you're in a positive way of mind, of thinking, you will automatically see people in that way. What thoughts are you thinking about God? How God thinks about you? Some people think that God is like a big father ready to punish them. So some people think that God is a God who ready to throw them in a pit of fire. Not so, brethren. God is so loving and is caring and long-suffering, and he's patiently waiting for you to come and settle your thoughts on him so that you can have a good life. So hear what the thought God is thinking about you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 through 30 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think up towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of what? Thoughts of what? Peace and not of evil, to give you what? An unexpected end." Then 12 said, "Then shall he call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, brethren." Brethren, Brooklawn and not Stanford. The Lord is saying to us today, he has good thoughts, not evil thoughts. So if something happens to us evil, it's not about God. If you're driving and have an accident, don't blame God. If your sister, your mother, your father died, it's not God. God has pleasure thought for you. God, a thoughts of peace and an expected end. He's expecting us to pray and hearken unto him. That's why I tell you, brethren, that mental health is a spiritual issue. And because it's a spiritual issue, it spreads off into chemical imbalance. Thus, it helps distort your thinking. "And ye shall seek me," seek the Lord, "and find me when ye shall search for me with not the sum of your heart," brethren. It's all. God's thoughts towards me. Hear what other God's thought. How precious. Psalms 139 and verse 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them," come on now, "if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand on the seashore. When I wake up, I am still with thee." God have good thoughts towards us, brethren. And he wants us to have good thoughts about ourselves and about others. The Holy Spirit in intercedes on our thoughts. This is how he works in us. He helps us to develop positive thoughts such as love, joy, and peace. Galatians 5 and verse 22 to 25 says, Galatians 5, 22 to 25 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. That's how God wants us to be, developing these attributes of the Spirit. And it will help to influence the way we think of ourselves and others. Replacement. Let us see how we can replace negative thinking with positive thinking. And you write carefully now. When you put away negative thinking, it has to be replaced with positive and valuable thoughts. This is what Paul said in Colossians 3, 12 and 14. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You want peace? You want peace within? Joy within? Happiness is conditional. Did you know that? I prefer to have joy than happiness. Why, Pastor? Because joy is a spiritual entity, spiritual value. It comes from God within me. And no matter what I am going through, I have joy. Joy, joy, joy. Sweet joy. If you persecute me, I have joy. If I turn over in my car, I have joy. Why? Because happiness is external. It's conditional to the environment and how people treat you. But I have joy. Though I'm going through the rubble and the struggles of life, I can smile because I have joy. And when I have joy, I have peace, because they go together. I have peace. So when I have positive thinking, it gives me peace. So I put away negative thinking and put on kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. If you do not learn to forgive one another, it is going to be hard for you to have joy, because you are going to be thinking about the person. You are going to be seeing the person. You are going to be, and even if you move and go to England, the memories are still there. So if you forgive, you let yourself loose. Freedom, free at last, mental freedom. So that's another way of relieving yourself of negative thinking. Your emotion, your mental health. And I use the word emotion and mental health interchangeably. Your mental health or your emotion is the domain of feelings that are chemically driven, triggered by your thoughts, and result in your behavior. So our emotion, which is the byproduct of our thoughts, contains feelings, and the feelings are driven by chemical, by your chemistry, and are triggered by our thinking, and it results in our behavior. Our emotion is expressed in the way we are feeling. You know, some people said, you ask somebody, how are you today? I'm feeling sad. You're feeling sad because the day is gloomy. You see the day, it's gloomy, you're feeling sad. But you don't think positively to say, in spite of a gloomy day, I have something to eat. In spite of a gloomy day, I have life. In spite of a gloomy day, I am having my friends. So you don't look at the gloom, you don't focus on the gloominess of the day, focus on the blessings of the day. Your feelings of sadness is as a result of how you think about the challenges that you face. For example, if I'm locked in a box, I want to get out, yes. But how I think, I can think my way out. Because the box may not necessarily enclosed with all tightness. I can think my way out and think my way out and think my way out. And I said, I can do it. I can do it. And you can repeat it. I can do it. I can do it.
Nice, cool day.
I can do it. And as you think about how you can do it, you don't think about, I am locked in a box and I'm helpless and I'm poor and I'm blind and I'm wicked and that somebody must be doing it for me. I must be so much a bad person in this world. And you begin to, all 9 yards of complaining. Begin to think about what you did not do and what you did and who don't like you and who don't. It's not about that. Your feeling of joy is a result of how you think about your relationship with God. Your feelings of joy is as a result of how you think about your relationship with God. If you have a good relationship with God, anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. Huh? Your feeling towards your family is as a result of how you perceive them. Our emotion towards life is as a result of how we choose to live it. So, hear what Proverbs says. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep thine heart with all what? Diligence. And when I look at the word diligence, it means carefulness, intentional. Don't let it happen automatically. You hold it and you direct it and you control it. Keep your heart with all carefulness, for out of it comes the issues of life. And the heart here refers to your mind, your cranium, your frontal lobe that makes decision and think. Be careful of what you enter in, a cause to enter through your senses, your hearing, and your eyes, and your feelings, or your touch. Or even your smelling. Those five senses, the portal, be careful what you use to enter, cause to enter. So put some intentional block on them. I see some people wearing earphones and they're having music and you're saying, hi, John, they're not hearing you. Hi, John, they're not hearing you. Because they block you out and they're in their world of music. That's how you need to block out evil thoughts, things that influence you easily to do evil things. Block out things that will cause you to make wrong decisions. And if people are like that, to block them out. If people are in your life that causes you to make wrong decisions, block them out. Because they will send you to hell. And guess what happens? When you're going down to hell, they may be on your way to heaven because they may be changed. But they have spoiled you and sent you on down the winding road of hell while they have time to be converted, and then they are changed and they are saying, "Hi, we're going up." When them sink you. Be careful of that. So, listen to this now. Listen to this now. So, watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts before they turn into your words. Watch your words before they become your actions. Watch your actions before they become your habits. Watch your habits before they form your character. Watch your character before it becomes your destiny. In other words, brethren, pay attention to what you're thinking, because it can result in your destiny. Many of the decisions and many of the things that people are doing today and are on the wrong side of life is because of how they are thinking. Comes from how they are thinking or how their thought process runs. Here's the counsel from Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5. If there be any consolation or counsel in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, in one mind. Let nothing be done through vain to strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of the mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? What mind? The mind that is full of joy. The mind that is the mind of Christ. The mind that is have no strife, no vainglory. The mind that esteem each other better than themselves. The mind that is of Christ and is guided by the word of God. Philippians 4 and verse 4 to 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." But, and I want to substitute the word careful. Another version said, be anxious. Anxiety is another trick. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Whatever you need in this life, who can supply it? Huh? God will supply all you need according to his riches in glory, according to Christ Jesus. So how you turn into other men to supply your need? And when that need is not supplied, then it sends you into depression and anxiety. You went to the wrong place, but you're thinking wrong. Your supplier of all your needs come from above. It doesn't come from nobody else, but from above. So don't look to your wife to supply all your needs. Don't look to your husband to supply all your needs. Don't look to your children to supply all your needs. Don't look to your friends to supply all your needs. All your human needs come from above. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, the Lord God of peace shall be with you. Admonition from Paul. Yep. Admonition from Paul to the Philippians. Remember, in closing, remember to think positive thoughts about yourselves. You'll be a positive image to others. Cast all your emotions on God and be anxious for nothing, but seek God in prayer and in supplication. Scriptures to build good thoughts. Write these scriptures down and I close off with it. For when you're feeling anxious, go to Philippians 4 and verse 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing. I just read it. When you are fearful, go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Come on now, church. But of power and of love and of what kind of mind? Sound mind. A little wishy-washy mind. Sound mind. Mind that can challenge your circumstances and move above them and be victorious and look at them and say, you got me to this. I am done with that. I'm moving on. Sound mind. Mind that can think, make decision, and make wise decision based on the word of God. You want peace? When you want peace, go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You want peace, brethren? You want peace? Think about God. Godly things and his will and how he wants to change you. God doesn't want you to just come to church every Sabbath and sing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," and you just sit there. And then you get up and go home. What church was lovely today. And then you begin to pick the sermon apart, and then you begin to dissect the sermon, and you say, who wear short skirt, and who wear long hat, and who wear this? It's not about that. God sent you to church to change you. And if coming to church on Sabbath has not changed you, the Sabbath truth has no meaning to you. It means that we have to be changed, brethren. Don't just come because you can dress in a nice dress and a nice suit. Come for changes. Come to make a difference about how you see yourself and how God sees you and how you see your God. Change. And then thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he chasteth in thee. This one is another nice one. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. Oh, praise the Lord. When you keep God's commandment and walk in his law, nothing will offend you. Nobody offend you? Nothing offend you. When you're feeling of depression, go to Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Trust in God and change that face, change that expression, change your thought. And let me show you something, brethren. If you change your thoughts, the frown on your face will change. If you change the frown of your face, your shoulder will come up. And if you change your shoulder, will come up, you'll make logical steps. And the logical step will suggest that I am walking in this place like I own it. Because I'm walking as a child of God. Because what? I am thinking that I'm a child of God, and child of God, children of God, walk with a certain pep in their step. They walk that they are about to do business. All right. You're talking about worrying about tomorrow? Anxious about tomorrow? I'm not going to read all of this, but go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 to 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? Continue reading that for yourselves. And think about it. It says, at the end of it, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Most of us, brethren, we worry about the things around us. We worry, so till. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day in the evil thereof. Come, my friends. Come and learn more of how you can control your thoughts. Tomorrow night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, come Sabbath. And Sabbath, let's make the men think, come to how we can put our thoughts together so we can iron sharpeneth iron. We can sharpen each other. And so, brethren, in closing, what are you thinking now? What are you thinking? You're done there. And you want the Lord to anoint you. and you think the Lord can touch you and give you positive thinking. And you're saying, God, I have just learned something new that I can control the way I think. I should not allow my thoughts to control me. But let me just say this. You're down there and you have not yet made that commitment to the Lord so that he can control your thinking for you and help you to control all your thinking. Bow your heads with me, church, everywhere. Bow your heads with me, everybody, everywhere. Pray for somebody. You're down there and you're saying, I want to have positive thinking, but I have not yet surrendered my mind and my heart to Jesus Christ, and I want to do that today. I want you to pray for me today. I want you to pray for me today. You're down there. Raise your hand. You have not yet been baptized. You have not yet given your heart. Raise those hands. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Raise those hands. Raise them. Raise them. Raise them. Raise them. Raise them. Bow your heads, everybody, everywhere. Raise those hands. Put your hands down. God see those hands. The next call, brethren, is for all of us. Do we want to reform our thinking? Do we want to reconstruct our thinking? Do we want to think the way God wants us to think so our behavior can be better? Is that your desire, church? If that your desire, stand with me. Stand with me. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, God, that you have made us to be intelligent beings. And you have given us total control of our thinking. But the adversary made it otherwise, the opposite. He wants our thinking to control us. And so he informed that negative thinking with worldview and philosophies that distort our behavior. Behavior of hatred, malice, unforgiveness and pride, self-sufficiency and self, all about selfishness. But today, Lord, we have learned that you want us to allow your words to influence our thoughts so we can develop the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, long-suffering, forgiveness, forbearance. And so, Lord, we are standing today in your presence, surrendering all the negative thoughts and the negative way of thinking to you. And so, Lord, we want you to fill us with the proclivity and the desire to control our thinking so we can think more about you, think more better of each other, think of each other higher than all we ought to think, and think of others. Not to think of ourselves higher than all we ought to think, but to think of others, Lord. So, Lord, we want you to create in us a new heart. And when your right spirit in us, you have asked us, Lord, that you beseech us to be what you want us to be. So that, Lord, we may not just be sitting in this world and its mess, taking on the philosophies of the world and changing our behavior. Oh, Lord, but help us, Lord, that we may use your words. Use your words to renew our minds so that we can know that which is right and wrong, and that will also inform our conscience. Bless us, we pray. Bless this congregation. Bless those who have held up their hands, Lord, who want to follow you. Lord, get into their young hearts and lead them. give them that thought that will give them good direction. And so the result will be a good destiny. Bless and comfort us today, we pray. Onward for this week, Lord. We're praying for all the presenters for this week coming up. I pray, Lord, that you will use them in an effective, efficient way so that others can be drawn closer to you and understand what mental health is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.